Today's scripture reading comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God.
Good morning, church. It's good to be with you and to share with you a bit. The song we sang, Faith is the Victory, really is a pretty good song to sing as we begin our study today. Imagine it's retirement time. You're 75 years old, and you're thinking about maybe retiring. And so here you are, you have moved from the big city of Ur, the biggest city in the time, and you've moved to Haran, another big city. You've moved with your dad. Now your father, he was a man who probably worshipped the moon goddess of all things. But here he is, and he made this move. Terah makes this move, and he takes along a couple of sons. One of the sons will die in Haran. And they move to Haran, another big city. It's at that point that God is going to adjust their agenda, his and Sarah's. He's going to say to Abraham, get out from your country and your family and your father's house and go to a land I'm going to show you. He gave them no map. They had no map of where they're going to go. Now imagine, no map. Before GPS, no map, and they're going to go to thousands of miles away from where they started. And they're going to go to a place where there are no big cities. They've lived in two big cities, and they're going to Podunk. Now that's kind of amazing, isn't it? And he tells you that you're going to have a son, and you're thinking, I'm 75 years old and I'm going to have a son. Well, that's a little unlikely, isn't it? But I'm going to make you make this kind of journey, and that son is going to make of you a great nation. That's our man, Abraham. And that's where we're going to be spending our time today. I want to begin by reading with you a text from Galatians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul talks about Abraham, and he will indicate that Abraham's faith is our faith today. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, to be sure that those who are of faith, who are sons of Abraham, and the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all of the nations shall be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Interesting language, isn't it? Interestingly enough, the gospel gets preached to Abraham, and the gospel is everybody's going to be blessed through your descendants. It's a wonderful story. And so we're back in Hebrews, in our study in Hebrews, and we're looking at great people of faith. And today we're going to look at just one man of faith, the man Abraham. Our text begins, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. He had no map. He had no idea where it was. It was thousands of miles from where he began in Ur, and a long, long way from Haran. And it's a place he doesn't know. He's never been there before. He doesn't know what it's like, and yet he's been called to go there. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as a foreigner in the land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. He and his sons and grandchildren are going to live in tents. He never builds a house. May imagine living there in this land that's been promised to you and you never build a house? You're going to live in a tent the whole time? Kind of amazing, isn't it? Here he is, retirement age, and God has called him to this strange land, and he's calling him to do something. He was looking for a city that has foundations whose architect and builder is God. I like the language there, architect and builder. The word is the word we get technician from. That's the architect, craftsman, and constructor, builder, is God. He's looking for a city built by God. He's not going to live in any big cities. He's going to live in Podunk. And yet God has promised him something that really is quite a blessing. We read on. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now, it looks like we changed gears here. We've moved from the faith of Abraham to the faith of Sarah. I hate to tell you this. I think this is a bad translation. I don't think we're talking about the faith of Sarah. I think we're still talking about the faith of Abraham, and I'll explain why in just a moment. This is what it says if you're reading from the NIV. The NIV footnote, interestingly enough, in the footnote, I think they got it right. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become the father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Here's the New Revised Standard Version. By faith, he received the power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. We just changed gears and we changed the subject. You'll notice that in New American Standard Version, and in which I read from just a few moments ago, and your ESV, the subject of this verse is really, interestingly enough, Sarah. But in the footnote to the NIV and the New Revised Standard Version, it is the subject is still good old Abraham. And I think there's some good reasons for that. The first reason is that that word, if I back up, you'll notice she received the ability to conceive. That really is a bad translation of the word. The word is literally, not she, but he received the ability to cast down seed. And that's something that a man does, not a woman does. And so the real issue isn't so much Sarah here. It really is good old Abraham. And I think that's really important. And so it is, I think that's one of the reasons. A second reason is that Sarah is not a particularly good example of faith. You'll know God promises you're going to have a son. And from this son, all of these wonderful blessings will come. And Sarah will say, you know what? We're getting old. Why don't you go to my handmaiden, my slave Hagar, and have a child by her? And we'll just pretend he's my son. That didn't work out well, you'll remember. But she thought she would find another solution rather than God's solution. Also, when God comes to her and says, "You're going to have a baby," she laughed. She wasn't particularly a believer, was she? Do you see that? I think that's significant. She is not particularly a good example of one who has faith in God. And so I think that's one of the good reasons. And so we've got a couple of solutions to the problem. You can, as my New American Standard and your ESV has done, we can make the subject Sarah and change the word from lay down seed to establish the power to have posterity, even though that's a different word altogether. Or we can make Sarah Sarah read as a kind of dative, and we translate it as F.F. Bruce suggested, Abraham to or with Sarah who was barren received the power to procreate. Or we can do it as the other translations have. We can take Sarah herself as parenthetical. And Sarah herself was barren. But here's a man who has faith. He's a man who believes, even though his wife is old and way beyond the age of having children, he believes God. God says, you're going to have a child, and from this child, the whole world is ultimately going to be blessed. Because ultimately, from that child is going to come a grandson and a great-grandson and a great-great-grandson, and all the way down, and you're finally going to get to Jesus, through whom the blessing will come to the whole world. It's a wonderful text. Our text goes on to say, therefore also there was one man, and him as good as dead, that as many descendants as the stars in the heaven in number and innumerable as the sand of the seashore. Interesting language. Notice it says that he's as good as dead. Now, he was pretty alive, and he's going to be alive for a while longer, but in terms of having children, he's as good as dead. I mean, he's an old man, and it's very unlikely that he's going to have any descendants. But yet, there's this wonderful promise. He's going to have as many descendants as the stars in the heaven are innumerable, and as the sand on the seashore. And again, that's kind of amazing, because ultimately what he's promising is something that's going to be not just Jews. There are going to be a whole lot of Jews, and there's still a whole lot of Jews today, but it's more than that. You see, in a very real way, we are descendants of Abraham, because we've got Abraham's faith. Abraham believed God, that God was going to provide a Redeemer, and God has done that. And we're believers in that. And so we have the faith of Abraham. That's how our text in Galatians began. And I think that's important for us to realize. Verses 13 through 16, the author is going to take a bit of a break, and he's going to jump from the treatment of Abraham to engage in some general remarks about all these people. It's the folks he's dealt with so far, good old Noah, and before Noah, Abel, and before him, Enoch. And he's going to talk about Abel, Enoch, and them, and he's going to talk a bit more about them, and we'll come back and talk about those next Sunday. But in verses 17 through 19, we jump back to good old Abraham again. So here we go. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Now, the word tested is an interesting word. It can mean to test, to try to get you. You know, the devil tests us, tempts us, and we even translate it tempt when it's the devil, because he really wants to get us. Or it can mean to put to the test. And that's really what God is doing with Abraham. He's putting him to the test. I remember my favorite teacher when I was back in college. He was, in fact, I took his class on a dare. He was my Greek teacher, and I took him because he was supposed to be so hard that everybody said I couldn't take him and make an A in his class and do the things I wanted to do. But I sat in his class, and one of the things he would always say every time he would give us a test is, gentlemen, ladies, it's time for a learning opportunity. Well, it was a learning opportunity for us. And we thought he had stayed up all night figuring out what we didn't know so we could put it on the test. My students still think that's what I do. You know, he stands up, he figures out what we don't know, and he's going to put it on the test so I'll do badly. No, 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 I really don't do that. I really would like to know what they know, so maybe I can review it again if they didn't get it the first time. But here, that's the word. He puts him to the test. He's giving him an opportunity to show what he's just said. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. It's really interesting because if you're reading this passage in the book of James, James will say that that passage, he believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, Genesis 15, 6, is fulfilled in Genesis chapter 22. It's fulfilled, filled full of meaning, because all of a sudden you see that he has faith, because his faith causes him to do something. If you really believe, you will put your faith into action. And that's really the point here. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendant shall be called." Now it's really quite interesting. If you're reading the text in Genesis chapter 22, it really is interesting because as you're reading the text, good old Abraham is going up to that mountain to sacrifice his son. And he'll say to the servants that he's taken with him to carry the wood and everything they're going to need for this sacrifice, he leaves them down below and he goes up to Mount Moriah. By the way, that's an interesting mountain. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But as they're going up the mountain, he will say to them, "You guys stay here, and when we return, we will..." You're going to kill him. I mean, how is it going to be we? Well, you learn something here. The book of the Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, knows what he was thinking. He considered that God is able to raise men from the dead, from which he received him back as a type. He thought he was really going to kill his son. But God is able to raise folks from the dead, something we're going to see in Jesus being raised from the dead, and the promise that we're going to have life after death. He believed it. And so he believed he's going to kill his son, but God's going to raise him from the dead, and he'll come back. And they'll all come right back again. Isn't that interesting language? I think it's really quite striking. And it's really interesting because he's going to take his son, his only son, his unique, one-of-a-kind son, and he's going to offer him as a sacrifice. The binding of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22, again, is used in James chapter 2 to indicate what faith is really all about. Faith is believing God. When God says the promise is going to come through my son's not going to die and be dead forever. He's going to have to raise him from the dead. And of course, we know what's going to happen. God will say, well, here's a ram over here. I didn't really mean for you to kill your son anyhow. Here's the one I want you to sacrifice. Sacrifice this animal and do that. It's a wonderful promise. Our man Abraham is a man of faith. And if we can have the faith of Abraham, it makes all of the difference. Do you really believe that God sent his son to die on a cross for you? He did. For each one of us. He sent his son to die on a cross, and there is the promise of life eternal for every one of us. What a wonderful blessing that is. Abraham's faith should be our faith. And so we can sing the song, Faith is the Victory, because indeed, our victory is in the fact that we put our faith in God. And that faith is a wonderful promise to those of us who are believers. We're going to sing a song as an invitation song in a couple of minutes, and we're going to give you an opportunity. Perhaps you've come to have faith in God. Put your faith in Him, put your trust in Him, and when you put your trust in Him, you'll be called to confess Jesus as Lord and be repent of your sins and be buried in baptism, and we'd be happy to share with that you in that event. For the rest of us, we need to live lives of faith and put our faith into practice. Faith always causes folks to do something. If you really believe, you will act accordingly. What a wonderful promise. Let's stand as we sing this song, and if you need to respond, you may.